from KUER News in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today's show is as practically useful as we get. It's difficult for most of us trying to keep track of this explosion of music in the digital age, so it's helpful to have a guide, an expert. Bob Boylan is that person for us. He is the creator of NPR's music site, All Songs Considered, and he keeps track of new bands or new music from artists who have been around a while. And today in the program, he's back with us to talk about his picks for the best music of 2014 so far. Some of the names will be familiar. Spoon has a new album. That's what you're listening to right now. And Jack White and Beck. And there's also new stuff here, too. It's like our book show. You may need a pen. After the news. Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. Become a sustaining member of KUER for as little as $5 a month. You can do that online at KUER.org. And thanks. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. I'm going to keep this introduction short because by now you know the drill, and we never have enough time to get to everything on this show. Bob Boylan is with us today, and we're going to try to get through his list of the best music of the year so far. So grab a pen and something to hold on to because there's a lot to talk about. Bob Boylan, of course, creator and host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered, also host of the Tiny Desk Concerts. You've probably seen your share of them. He's been the director of All Things Considered, is an electronic musician with a number of recordings to his name. He's joining us today, of course, from the studios of NPR in Washington. And Bob, welcome back. Thanks for being back with us.
Happy to do this.
Let me just mention again that you can find a list of all of this music that we're talking about, as well as links to All Songs Considered at radiowest.kuer.org. Okay, so I want to start just broadly and get your sense of the year so far, the things that you're listening to. We have a lot of particulars to get to, but just generally, what do you think of the music so far?
Great songs. This is a good song year for me, and by songs I mean things I can actually remember, things I can actually maybe sing in my head, that sort of stuff. I like that stuff. I'm connected to that stuff. I listen to lots of out there things, but when it comes to things that become my favorites, songs are it, and this is a great year.
We're going to break these down as we go along, but new stuff from Beck, new stuff from Jack White, new stuff from Spoon and Kishibashi.
All good, right?
Is it? It's all good. So that's a good sign, right?
It's nice to know you can be an artist, make your 10th record or your 8th record, and still you may not shake and change the foundation of music like you did when you first started, because that just is what happens to artists. They shake things when they're younger and surprise people. But Jack White's record's fabulous. He stretches his bounds some. And Beck's record is beautiful. We'll talk about those things, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will for sure. Well, let's start with the biggest surprise. I guess that's as good a way to jump in as any. Jessica Lee Mayfield has a new album, Make My Head Sing. 25 years old. But what was surprising about this for you? She seems to have gone in a a different direction almost.
Right. She's a singer-songwriter with a few albums, and I've liked them just fine. And then I thought I'd go see her and went to her show and was just knocked out by this roar of guitar and her whole style of singing feels different and more vital. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the bigger picture of what music is, but for listening to her and the way she does it, she plays with her husband in a band, and she has this great song called Do I Have the Time from a record called Make My Head Sing.
She's from Kent, Ohio. For those who may be familiar with her, she Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys kind of discovered her in some way, helped her create her first album, and a lot of her music kind of was a reflection of, sounded a little like the Black Keys, I guess, but this is kind of grungy, this new stuff.
Well, the funny thing is that the records that he produced, which you'd expect to be the rockier records, The one without him is the rockiest record. So I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's play a little bit of Do I Have the Time? What should we listen for here?
It'll just hit you. Yeah. I mean, the guitar, it just comes rushing out of the gate in a wonderful way. It's a real nod to, for her, music she loved in the early 90s. I think Dave Grohl is a model for that. I think we may have mentioned, Nirvana.
Yeah, yeah. Here it is, Do I Have the Time? This is Jessica Lee Mayfield. Jessica Lee Mayfield, it's the album Make My Head Sing. Yeah, that sounds familiar, right? And just in the sense of, like, there's a 90s vibe.
Yeah, I totally always try to look for newer sounds in music, but I don't brush off good old rock and roll-y kind of licks to it. Lyrics are great, too. I like what she goes into this. It's, you know, it's another love song, but it's... from a nice perspective.
Yeah. She's doing a Tiny Desk concert, or did she already do it?
She's coming in Friday.
Wow.
I'm
That'll
excited.
Be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so it will be.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Beck, because I'm really interested in this one. This is, I guess Beck needs no introduction for most people. One of the most innovative musicians, really, of this era. All kinds of genres, all kinds of different styles. And this is his first full-length album since he hurt his back a couple of years back.
It's been about 6 years.
Yeah.
He suffered a back injury that made him hard to even hold a guitar. He recorded an album, tried, mm-hmm. shelved it.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of projects. He's recording other people's records. I mean, you know, other people's songs, I should say, which is fun. And then the sheet music project, right, that he did. And put that out. So he did an album, but it was released as sheet music. Very cool, very creative fellow.
Yeah, he is.
One of my favorite Beck records is the quietest of Beck records. And this is a follow-up to that record. He's worked with his father on this record doing orchestrations and stuff. And it's...
Now, that album you're talking about, that was Sea Change?
That's right.
Sea Change. This was in 2002. And you say this is not a sequel, this new one called Morning Phase, but it's kind of
the vibe.
Does it?
I think it really has the same vibe as Sea Change. And when I come back to listen to Beck records, even though his best work might be his most innovative work, for just listening, for driving, for sitting at home, for putting on while eating and doing whatever, I come to the quieter stuff.
Yeah.
And this is just a beautiful, beautiful record. You can listen when we listen to this, the song we're going to play. I think that one thing to do is to listen for just something very simple, which is just the way the voice is produced. Listen to the way the vocals linger using little bits of effects, some reverb and other things. Just have it just hangs in the air with every phrase he says. We'll play the song Morning. You want to do that? From Morning Phase is the album title.
Used to be.
Morning from Beck's new album, Morning Phase. You say it occupies a different sonic space. It's interesting that not as spacey, not as weird as some of his stuff. Just it's really nice.
It is a lovely record. I'm so glad he made this record. You know, and the whole thing holds together very well, beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, he's
I'm
great.
Sure. In fact, he's already working on new projects. He's got another song sheet music project coming. Very, very fascinating man.
Let's talk about Sylvan Esso, which is that they have a this is their debut album, Sylvan Esso, which I guess it's interesting. I mean, I heard this interview. Scott Simon interviewed them on Weekend Edition a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's I can't remember the description exactly, but you've got folk vocals with thumping electronics. I think that's how I heard it described. Does that fit?
Yeah, no, it does. It's a woman, Amelia Meath, is in a vocal sort of more folky band. She passes off some of her music. That band was called Mountain Man. She passes off her music to a fellow she met called Nick Sanborn. He's an electronic producer. Made music under a name of Made of Oak. And he took her music and changed it in a way that really inspired him, because he's done lots of remixing, and it was just amazing for him to work with such a strong vocalist as Amelia. And she heard it and it was something really different. And they started playing together, and they made this record. It's very bare bones in terms of electronic music. It's not always in your face. The percussion is sometimes is more implied than exists, which isn't usually true of electronica. And I was at a show in February. The record, which we're going to play a song called Coffee.
Yeah.
And it had just sort of come out. So they've been touring a while. And, you know, like all new bands, you play music to an audience and nobody knows your songs and they'll clap and you go home.
Yeah.
Some people get inspired, but for the most part, it's not like the event I saw, which is a place called DC9 here in Washington. Went to their show, and all of a sudden, everybody's singing back the words to their song, and they'd never heard that happen.
Wow.
And the looks on their face, it was just marvelous. It's like why people, one of the reasons that people get up on stage is to ignite an audience, and they saw that happen and for the first time, and it was quite a thrilling thing. So it's been a great ride for them this year. They've gotten a lot of attention.
Good.
For good reason.
Well, here's a track off of the album. It's self-titled, Sylvan Esso. This is Coffee.
Like a name I remember hearing. Wild winter, warm coffee.
You know, some of these songs, it's hard to turn them down, right?
I'm with you.
Yeah. That's Coffee, Sylvan Esso debut album. You said something that was interesting. I wanted to ask you about that. Nick Sanborn, you say, has done what Nick Sanborn has done to the song is transformative. Are you hearing something kind of new here, even though there's not anything new under the sun, like you were saying earlier?
Well, I think the restraint that happens for the sounds that he's making is even though it's very rich and lots of different, there's tinkly bells, there's thumpy bass, which are, you know, polar opposite sounds going on, yeah. It's still very spare and restrained. And I don't know, I work with electronic stuff,
yeah.
And it is one of the challenges, just like any technology, is not to go overboard. It's so easy to. It's just a dial turn, and all of a sudden it's bigger, and it's, you know, more, and it's attractive, frankly, when you're making music. And it takes a lot to leave. It takes a good deal of thought and creativity to make the room for your partner and to make it all better, to not make everything you do be the center, you know, for this electronic guy would be so easy. And it happens so often when I go to see electronic music shows, you can barely hear the vocals. They're buried in bass, and they're buried. It's so often. And so it's so refreshing to hear someone like Nick Sanborn, who made this record, by the way, in his bedroom with her, with Amelia Meath. It's just fabulous.
Yeah. Sylvan Esso, again, that's their debut album. Well, before we head to a break, let's talk about Jack White. Who needs no introduction, at least for most of us. It's been one of the most, again, he's kind of like Beck in some way, one of the most creative, most prolific musicians really working. He's been with the White Stripes, of course, and others. You've called this new album, Lazaretto, stunning.
He goes through, the thing about Jack White is he fights two battles, I think. One is that everybody wants him to be the White Stripes.
Yeah.
Constantly,
yeah.
So... but he's a creative soul who has draws inspiration from music that comes from, you know, the 20s and 30s blues people. He draws inspiration from just many kinds of music, and he wants to be inspired by that and make music that's different. So there is that on the record. There's all sorts of, you know, like honky-tonk piano-y sounds and all different kinds of things on this record. His audience is somewhat accepting of it and somewhat not. He does certainly blistering rockers on this tune. Lyrically, he stretches his own boundary of the subject matter. And I really admire that man a lot.
You've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times, which I have to say may seem a little daunting. I mean, because... He's so smart about. I mean, what was it fun talking to him? Was it intimidating in some?
Oh, he's no, he's not an intimidating fellow. At least I don't think so. I think he's a very friendly fellow. I think he chooses his conversations and doesn't do many of them.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But you can tell there's so much going on in his brain, and he, like we were talking about, Nick Sanborn. He's got this laser focus, you know, and he really knows how to go after something very, very specific. And I really admire someone like that.
It's interesting. When you were talking to him, he told you this experience of having writer's block and how the only way to kick out of it, if I get this right, is he was like he had to summon his 19-year-old self to kind of dig him out of that block.
He literally went and found in the attic of his old home, he went and found papers of writings he did as a teenager and picked out the best writings that he thought were the best things and threw everything else away. And I said, why would you do that? I mean, why not hold on to this thing? You had it since you were 19, the space it takes up and just be able to go back. He says, no, you have to just keep the best stuff and get rid of the other stuff because it taints the good stuff.
Hmm.
Like I said, he's an odd fellow and very focused fellow, and he knows what he's after.
Well, tell us about the song Lazaretto, because I want to play that. This is from the album Lazaretto. Tell us about that track.
Let's listen to a little bit of it, and we'll go through some of the words, I think.
Great, great.
Yeah.
Come on, my daddy, yes, sir.
Wow. That really moves. There's no honky-tonk in any of that right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, that appeals to his broad base. I don't know even where to begin with the words of this without getting into a long, long story and wanting to hear more music. So I think we're going to – let's move on and play other stuff. I love Jack White. I could talk a little while about this song. But
maybe we'll do a Jack White show one of these days. Bob Boylan is with us, the host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered, and, of course, of the Tiny Desk Concerts, which are great, by the way. For a list of the music we're talking about today and for links to All Songs Considered, go to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We're moving on when we get back from a break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, Bob Boylan of NPR's All Songs Considered is back with us to talk about the best music of 2014, at least from his perspectives. And so far, summertime is road trip time, and so you're going to need some music. And that's what Bob is going to suggest, is a lot of it, actually, as much as we can get to. He's joining us, of course, from NPR in Washington. Okay, let's talk about your favorite new artist. This is The Family Crest.
Oh, good.
Liam McCormick is the frontman on that band. This seems like they're this kind of an indie rock band, I guess you could say, out of the Bay Area, San Francisco area. I've heard them described as orchestral indie rock.
Yeah. So the thing is that most of the players in this band are classically trained. Liam was trained as an opera singer, but then wanted to sing jazz. The drummer is a jazz drummer, but they don't make jazz and they don't make classical music. They make music that is, again, what I said at the top of the show, which is catchy and singable, but incredibly dramatic because they have the chops to pull it off. You know, there are a lot of singers who want to reach for something and can't, and Liam can in an absolutely astonishing way. The song that I'd like to play from their record has, you know, it's 5 minutes of building and down and up. It's all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be hard to get the big scope of the talent of this band. But I think if we start late in the song, Beneath the Brine, which is the title cut for the record, it's a 6 minute and something song, we'll get a sense of what the seven-piece band is capable of. You want to do that?
Sure, of course. Here it is, the track Beneath the Brine from the album. Beneath the Brine, it's The Family Crest.
I have you taken me far.
Wow. I like doing it that way, Bob. I like coming out at the end of some of these pieces because it seems less like we're just getting a sample to give. I mean, you can't get the full scope of it. It's a 6-minute song, but yeah, that's great.
Wouldn't it? And, you know, it's got like that very end is so traditional British folk in many ways, lyrically and the way he phrases. And I might add that this this very young band can do just what you heard live. This is not like studio trickery making their sound bigger than it is. They are talented and they are bold and fantastic live. Mm.
It's Bob's favorite new artist. It's called The Family Crest. Okay, I want to talk about Strand of Oaks, which is basically it's the singer-songwriter Timothy Showalter. You liked this album. It's called Heal. It's interesting. He had been talking about this. I read where he had talked about how it's basically, if I get this right, the album's it's kind of like this story of his experiences being a teenager in his family's basement in Indiana, Goshen, Indiana, I think it is, right. Which you think is kind of whimsical, but he's described it as kind of not soft, but I think he said it was like scream therapy or something.
Huh. There's a line, I'm not sure if we get to it, there's a line in the song about the songs, I think, are we going to play JM?
JM.
Which is for Jason Molina, a songwriter who's not with us anymore. And the song is sort of, lyrically, depending on what we get to, is basically how he's alone. He had these songs. He was mean to his father because he was mean to himself. It's very autobiographical, but I think it probably will hit a home to more than just him. I think this is a very touching song about someone pouring their emotions out and talking about the things that they know they are weak about, but yet having the comfort of this very, also very sort of troubled human making music somewhere else in the world, but winding up in his basement and listening to Jason Molina's songs over and over again. The song is also, in just a short little thing, is starts off very much like a very quiet song and then goes into what Neil Young does best, which is this incredibly explosive moment in a song like Neil Young's Cortez the Killer or something. In fact, some of the guitar, lyrically, the line is very similar to a Neil Young song, but it didn't bother me. It was really just overwhelming and good.
Well, let's play those two parts. Let's start with the first part of JM, because as you say, it starts slow, and then we'll come back in a moment when it, as you say, pivots. This is JM. It's from Strand of Oaks. Their album is Heal. So this is how it starts, sort of slow, and then so what happens, Bob? You say it pivots, right?
It pivots and punches you right in the face. Yeah. Is what it does. Yeah. In the best of ways. I had your sweet tunes to play. Your sweet tunes to play. It kind of works, right?
Totally. And you get the Neil Young, don't you?
Yeah. No shame there.
No. Yeah, exactly.
He clearly borrowed that. Yeah, but he does make it his own. I again have seen Timothy play in Philadelphia, in fact, in his sort of home area these days. And it was really, really, really good.
Yeah. Strand of Oaks, the album's Heal. Well, let's talk about Spoon. We talked about Spoon a couple of years ago, but this is their first album in 4 years. I think a lot of people have been waiting for this. Britt Daniel and Jim Eno, sort of the two main guys in the band. They split up for a while in 2010. I guess they wanted a break, and now they're kind of back.
Well, I mean, they started as a band, you know, in the 90s, and they never stopped. And I think they all just needed, not that they didn't get along, but I think they just all needed time to explore different things. And Britt Daniel put a band together, and Jim Eno was producing records. And they all started just doing different stuff, but it was never really a breakup. But it was nice to hear them come back together again for this record.
There's a track, Rainy Taxi. I guess let's play that one. What do you want to say about that?
Let's listen and we'll talk. How's that?
Here it is, Rainy Taxi.
One of the things they added in this band this time around is a fellow named Alex Fischel, who was in the band that Britt Daniel went ahead and formed called Divine Fits. And I think Alex adds a nice Spoon's one of those bands that have a very restrained, again, kind of energy. Mm. It bursts, but they are under control of that burst. And I think Alex sort of he's more explosive than and less restrained than the rest of the band members.
Yeah. I like them. Spoon. The album, They Want My Soul. Conor Oberst. He has an album, Upside Down Mountain. Singer-songwriter from Nebraska. Is still in the band Bright Eyes.
Yeah. I mean, he... Right.
Yeah.
And it's just another project. He has all these different little projects where different sorts of his being comes out, sometimes more countryish, sometimes more rocky electronics. When he does just his own name, it's generally more stripped down. This record features members of Dawes as the backing band, right?
Yeah, they tour with him, don't they?
They are. They'll be at Newport Folk Festival as well. Connor came with two of the members of the band to play at the Tiny Desk, and that performance is actually pretty beautiful. And I think, what are we going to play? We're going to play the opening track, which is...
Time for God?
Time for God. Yeah. And I think just if anybody just likes a good song with good words, just this is it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Connor's just been doing this thing since he's been like 12 years old. And... he's a very strong lyricist, and I think these are some of the best words he's written in ages. So I'm really happy to know that you know someone doesn't get burned out. He's in middle 30s now, and his life's a lot happier. He was always seemed a troubled soul. He came to the Tiny Desk with his dad there, and his wife. He had a smile on his face. It's nice to see.
It's another one of those songs I want to play a bit at the top, and then we'll hear another transition further on so we can get a sense of it. This is a Time Forgot, Conor Oberst. It's from the album Upside Down Mountain.
Pop. polished my shoes, I bought a brand new hat, moved to a town that Tom forgot, where I don't have to shave or be approachable. No, I can do just what I want. I wanna walk in that howling wind till it scatters all my thoughts. Sit all alone on that riverbank till I forget that I can talk. So here we go, man, it's beautiful. Get your trumpet, get your drum. Keep in time in a second line, it can make you feel so young. I know you say you'll go all the way, that's not what.
It's Connor Oberst, his album Upside Down Mountain, that's a track, Time Forgot. Bob Boylan with us, host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered, in the Tiny Desk Concerts. For a list of all this music, go to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. You'll find a link to All Songs Considered. When we get back from a break, we'll talk about Bob's best song, best album, Kishibashi coming too. We'll take a break. This is Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Back now with Bob Boylan, creator and host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered. And we're talking about his selection for the best music of 2014 so far, joining us from the studios of NPR in Washington. Well, I want to get to best song. This is Annie Clark, or St. Vincent. And it's an album. She's done four albums now. St. Vincent's her first self-titled album, which I guess is kind of interesting. But I wanted you to start with a story, because you said something that was kind of extraordinary. You went to see her concert. This was back in March. And then you were so blown away by it that you went again the next night, I guess. And you say that those shows were like among the top five best concerts you've seen in your life?
Yeah, it's hard to convey an emotion of being at a show and being absolutely blown away. I go to shows every night. I think just that's not an exaggeration, one or two exceptions, or two or three shows every night, like last night. So seeing something that is, often it's a band, and often there's bass, guitars, and drums and whatever, and, you know, some electronics or whatever, it's hard to be completely surprised and blown away. But here's the thing. Annie Clark plays guitar, but plays guitar like nobody else. The sounds that come out of guitar when we listen to her song, they're processed guitar sounds, but they don't sound like a synthesizer and they don't sound like a guitar. They really have something fresh going on, the tone and the development of these sounds as she hits the strings. It's very unusual. She's been playing guitar forever, and she has a really good sense of that instrument, very comfortable with it. And then she writes great poetry. Yeah. So she's got, and she sings well, and she looks amazing. and the staging, she worked with David Byrne on a project together recently.
Yeah.
And in that, she learned what the value of being choreographed on stage was. And she took some of those ideas and put that into her show as well. It was very simple staging. A flight of stairs was on the stage. It wasn't elaborate projections or anything. It was really her songs, her music and movement, and some nice lighting. And all of that very simple stuff. But when the talent oozes out, hit me over the head wonderfully.
Mm. Let's play a track. This is called Digital Witness. I guess we're listening for the guitar, right? I mean, that's the...
You certainly listen to the guitar, and, you know, if you want to go listen to the words, it's all about what is the value of things in this digital age is sort of the big question mark that's in the song.
Goodbye to your seat. Goodbye, gnashing teeth. Ooh. I want all of your mind.
it's funny on that song. It's harder to pick out the guitar between the horns and stuff, but that's something she does do very well, which is she fits. Her sound was a very brassy kind of sound with a lot of vibrato, and when you hear it live, rattles your belly because it the bass on it is pretty outstanding. Maybe car speakers and so forth that didn't come off, but and if we went to a different song, you'd hear a completely different tone on the guitar.
We're not going to get to everything, but Amarante, do you want to talk about that? I think this is because Portuguese. This is Rodrigo Amarante, Brazil. Right. He was in this Brazilian American band, and he's got this new album, which is all in Portuguese. But does that matter?
Emotionally, it didn't matter to me. Surprisingly,
right. Yeah.
You feel Rodrigo Amarante's emotions when he sings and the way it's presented. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but things that are attracting me these days seems to be a restraint, and that is often the case in music that is Brazilian. There is a big, wide open space in that music, and that space speaks volumes. He lives in L.A. these days, but that said, he still brings to the table odd chord changes, big, open, and surprising little, I don't know if we'll get to it, but in this song there's this saxophone that comes in for 8 seconds, disappears, comes back for 4, never hear it again. But if it wasn't there, the song wouldn't be as good. I think there are a bunch of songs in English on this record. This one's not. This is Nadem Vau.
Yeah.
Which is the lead-off track to a record called Cavallo.
Yeah. Here it is, the band. Rodrigo.
It is a good band, but Rodrigo Amarante is out in front there.
Yeah, right. Cavallo Rodrigo, the name of the album. Nada M. Vau.
Entre eu e você, um silêncio, um grito, sim ou não. Eis então que o pedaço de mim que é só teu é intento sem tanto intenção. Quando eu vejo você.
That's a tough one to turn down, man.
It is, right? Great. Kind of haunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
You should see him perform it. He's got these eyes. If some performers, you go to a show, big room full of people, and you're sure they're singing right to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the best album, Angel Olsen. The album is Burn Your Fire for No Witness. Folk singer, I guess? Indie rock singer, I guess? Is that
Well, I think it's fine to call her a folk singer, though that term long ago had nothing to do with folk music. Even Simon and Garfunkel, who were thought of as folk musicians, had by their second album, had nothing to do with what we think of as traditional folk music. That said, she's a singer and she's a songwriter. She writes, I think, closest thing that maybe an audience might understand, if I said Leonard Cohen. Mm. That would be a good reference point.
Yeah.
I don't think Leonard Cohen as a folk singer, but we always, when I worked in record stores, put Leonard Cohen in the folk bin.
Right.
So, right. Singer-songwriter. So, and on this record, she goes for the quiet moments and the explosive moments. And I love both of those. I think, given the time we have, we should play one of the explosive songs. What do you think?
Is it Forgiven, Forgotten?
Yeah.
Good.
I think
we
should do that.
This is Angel Olsen. Her album is Burn Your Fire for No Witness. This is a track, Forgiven, Forgotten.
Forgiven, forgotten.
Wilson. Best album so far, I guess, for you.
It is. It you know, it changes and flips on a weekly basis, but it is one that certainly by the end of the year will be in that top three. Record produced by John Congleton, who's a producer who's made so many great records. Worked on the St. Vincent record just before is one of them. He's worked with Strand of Oaks we've played today.
Yeah.
Somebody just to keep your eyes on when he does a record.
We're going to head toward Kishibashi here in a moment, but I wanted to just, there are a couple we didn't get to, and we won't have time to play any of them, but the Apache Relay was one that you really liked.
There's
so
a song called Katie, Queen of Tennessee that reminded me of the Electric Light Orchestra. I'm going to post a video of their new song, I think, up online on Monday. You'll get to hear the song and watch the video. They're a Nashville band that just have a very different sound than, again, like the Jessica Lee Mayfield, very different than what you may have heard before.
Mm. There's an Australian group. I guess they're not in Australia these days. They're in Brooklyn. But Luluk?
Luluk.
Luluk, yeah.
And, a duo, a couple. I think, you know, we talked at the top, what are the trends? Lots of great quiet music. We played a loud Angel Olsen song, but there's some beautiful, beautiful quiet moments on that record. Luluk, another one. Connor Oberst, the Rodrigo Amarante, quiet moments, really beautiful.
Chet Faker, you want to say something about that quick?
another Australian takes his name from Chet Baker in a loving way. He's got a nice deep voice, but he's an electronic musician, makes sort of dance music, but very soulful singing to it. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
Well, we may have some time to play a bit of Kishibashi. Let's talk about that. He's got a new album, Light. I guess it's spelled L-I-G-H-G-H-T.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
I meant to ask him, didn't.
What do you think? This is I loved his his stuff. We've talked about him before.
Indeed, he's been a favorite of ours since I stumbled upon him in a. I can't remember. It's like an unusual venue for him where there are about 25 people, like a Knights of whatever hall. I can't think of what it was. But the point being that when you watch Kishibashi, you're watching a magician as well as a musician, because he makes these songs in front of your eyes that get so big. And as you know, he travels with a band these days, but often what he does in terms of making huge sounds with his mostly violin is big, wonderful orchestral sounds. And he does it right in front of your eyes with loop pedals and so forth. Mm-hmm. Some people think of that as gadgetry and escape and all that stuff, and think that it's covering up the fact that you can't play. It's not an attitude I take toward music. It's another tool to make music, and he does it very, very well.
Here's Kishibashi, the album Light, the track Philosophize in it. That's Bob Boylan, host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered. For a list of all of the songs we talked about and more, go to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Bob, thank you very much again.
Always great. We'll talk to you at the end of the year.
Okay. Radio West, production of KUER News, technical direction from Mike Anderson, the show produced by Benjamin Bombard, Andy Lane Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.